this Lord of ours has a sense of humor. I was praying and praying and saying, oh Lord, please help me to know what it is I'm supposed to talk about for this Bible teaching. Please, Lord, help me to know. And I'm going on and on, and I'm begging him to give me a subject matter, and all of a sudden I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute, I hear this little voice going, well, can you hear me now? It cracked me up because I'm thinking, wait a minute, I'm asking for a title, I'm asking for a Bible study, and the Lord's telling me, but I'm not hearing him. It's like this, we have this phone, and I could picture the Lord sitting around his throne, and he's going, Sandy, can you hear me now? Sandy, can you hear me now? Because he has that still, small voice. He doesn't yell above the crowd, but I'm going, and Lord, what else can I do? And I don't know what else in my family. And he's going, can you hear me now? Sandy, I'm talking to you. And so it just cracked me up. I think I laughed for about 20 minutes because he already had talked to me, but I wasn't listening. So do you ever know how many times God has spoken to us, but we never heard his voice? I thought about that. Have you asked, how do I know if God's speaking to me? How do I know that it's not myself, or maybe it's Satan who's talking to me? Do you ever wonder about those things? Well, he does speak to us. We know, because the word says so. But we don't listen. In John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. We know that scripture real well. But if we aren't hearing him, if we aren't listening for his voice, are we not his sheep? That's a question I had to think about, and it shook me to my heart. If I don't hear him, am I his sheep? I pray to God I am. Well, the most valuable lesson that we could ever learn is how to hear God's voice. Nothing's more rewarding, nothing's more urgent, nothing's more necessary than what God has to say. It's all about what he has to say. And we don't pay attention to what he has to say. Sometimes not intentionally, but we don't pay attention. And he has so much to give us, so much he wants to tell us. He wants to fellowship with us first and foremost, which is spending time with him. He wants a two-party conversation. He doesn't want to do all the listening while we do all the talking. We listen while he talks. And then we have our turn, and we talk, and he listens to us. That's the kind of God he is. But he wants that fellowship with us. So he speaks through his word to us. And the word, of course, is the complete revelation of God. It's his whole unfolding truth. It's about God. It's by God. It's the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And it's the breath of God. This word right here has everything in it that we need. So we're assured that when we look and we read this book, when we get into this book with a deep, intense study, that God is speaking to us. There's words on this page. Every single word on this page is meant for us to hear. There's a nugget, a mystery, a promise all through this book that he says, listen, you got this problem? I got to tell you something. Go to Matthew this or that or Hebrews or whatever. I have the answer for you right in there. But we don't listen. We don't listen to his voice. We complain and murmur and fuss and cry and boo-hoo. And yet the answer is right here for us. God still speaks to us through his spirit, who now lives and dwells in us as believers. So the Holy Spirit living within us and speaking to us ought to be the natural, normal lifestyle that we lead as Christians. He impresses things on our own will. His will, he impresses on our heart. And then that's how we listen to his voice, but we don't always know how we're listening to his voice. But he does talk to us through the word. He talks to us through other people. He talks to us through circumstances. He talks to us through the Holy Spirit. He talks to us through that gnawing thing that goes on inside of us that we go, I'm not so sure this is the right thing to do. That's the Lord speaking to us saying, it isn't the right thing to do, or it is the right thing to do. But we have to be sensitive to his word. He's sensitive to his voice. He speaks clearly and directly. There's no ifs, ands, or buts with him. There's no, well, maybe you ought to go to the left, or maybe you ought to go to the right. Nope. He clearly and distinctly tells us what to do when we hear him. He's got the exact direction for us. So we have to seek to be alert and sensitive and available to God's voice. Ask him to make it, when we're making decisions, we have to ask him, is this the right decision for my family, for my job, for my walk with the Lord, or am I totally off? And if we listen, if we seek him, the answers will come through all kinds of different, through a situation, through a circumstance, through the pastor, through a Bible study. In Genesis, we know about the story of Noah. God warned Noah that his society was about to fall and told Noah to build an ark to prepare and save himself and his family. But he told Noah that all the things that he needed to know, he told him exactly. He told him, I have specific plans for this ark, Noah. I want you to do thus and such and build it so high and so wide and use this wood and put the window over there and maybe put the door over there. No, I want that door over there. And then I want you to get these animals. And he told specific plans to Noah. Well, Noah listened. And because Noah listened, the Lord saved him and his family. It was his survival plan for Noah. But Noah heard, Noah listened. So he also had a survival plan for Elijah. In 1 Kings 17, 2-4, God told Elijah exactly where to go and what to do. He was talking about the brook at Cherith. And he told him that the ravens would come and feed him. And everything that he needed would be taken care of. And he even told him that he would be going down to Zarephath to see the widow and that she would provide for him and then he would bless her in return. So also, he has a detailed plan for us too. Every one of his children, he has a detailed plan. And he tells us directly saying, hey, go over here, apply for that job, and maybe I want you to go over here so you could buy that house. Or do you need things for your children? Well, I know where there's a really good thing going on over here. I want you to go over here. He provides for us in all these little tiny ways that we're not even aware of. No matter how difficult things might get, God sustains us all who trust in him by the power of his still small voice. He speaks to us on a daily basis. But are we hearing him? In Isaiah 30, 21, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left, God's telling you exactly where to go. He's telling you how to go and where to go. This is the way, walk in it. So when we listen, we do things God's way. But when we don't listen, we do them our way and it's a disaster. Hebrews 12:25. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. Don't refuse to hear God when he speaks. Once you've done it, it becomes easier and easier and easier. Then all of a sudden your ears are dulled. You can't even hear him. And then you don't even remember if you ever heard him. You just pull yourself away from him totally. And God wants to be intimate with us. He wants us to pray. He wants us to be in his presence. We can do that all the time. It doesn't have to be a specific time. We can be in his presence all the time. We should be humbled and in awe that God wants us to hear his voice. What? Isn't that awesome? He wants us to hear his voice. He picked us to hear his voice. Blows me away. Talking to God daily is the way that we know he will know his will and recognize his voice. Sadly, a lot of Christians, they don't know God's voice. Some can go for months and years and weeks and more years and not even hear a word from God. Have you heard people say to you, I never heard from God. Why don't I hear from God? Well, they don't hear from God for a lot of reasons. One of them is that they're not listening. The other could be that they have hidden sin in their hearts. And they don't want to hear from God. They don't want to be in his presence because if we go in his presence, he'll expose us. He'll expose the sin that we're hiding from everybody. When we put on our happy face at church or we have our happy face on at other things that involve God, people will know. If I go before the Lord and he exposes my sin or my hidden idol that I have, I can't do that. I have to stay away from God. That's why they don't hear, because they are afraid to be exposed. But on the other hand, is it not the most wonderful thing to come before him and expose that sin, confess it, admit it, confess it, repent of it, and deal with it? And your life is free. You're free from that. Even if it's an idol, it can be anything. Well, the Israelites, let's see, I missed a scripture here. Okay, God knows everything. He sees our hearts, and he knows who we, if we really want to hear him. All believers have within them the Holy Spirit, who perfectly knows the mind of God, and who receives and communicates to our spirits the truth that God wants us to hear. In 1 Corinthians 2, 6 through 10. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Well, the Israelites, we remember that story about them being in the wilderness with Moses, and they knew that if they drew near to him, that he would expose their sin. So they decided that instead of them hearing from God directly, they'd let Moses do it. And then he could talk to God, and then Moses could talk to them and tell them what God said, because they didn't want to give up what they had hidden in their hearts. It didn't matter. God knew what they had in their hearts anyway. This is the reason today why a lot of Christians don't hear God's voice. It's by choice. At one time, God has spoken to them clearly. Don't do this. It will destroy you. Forsake your secret sin. It will hinder our relationship and cost you your abundant life. But it's because of these warnings that these believers no longer go into their secret closet. They know if they get along with the Lord, like I said, he'll expose things. When we don't have a problem or a need, we just go about our business and let time go by that we don't spend with the Lord, because we have no need. We're living on top of the mountain. But when there's a crisis, then we start looking for God. We start looking for the phone. Lord, are you there? Can you hear me? I don't think he likes that very well. In Moses' day, they hit the mute button. Just talk to Moses, like I said. He'll let him do it. We don't want to be bothered with this. We've got things to do. So they push his voice further and further away until that still small voice isn't even a whisper anymore. They can't hear it. We don't do that, though, do we? When we hear his voice, he speaks protection to us. We don't even know why that sometimes we've gone down this road and we didn't really want to go down that road, but for some reason we made this silly turn and it was for our protection because there was an accident over there 5 seconds before you got there. Or you went to the wrong store, but boy, there was a sale over there. There's always a reason God has for taking you off your path and putting you on his path. So when we hear his voice, we have to start listening, because he talks to us in a lot of different ways. God says, I have so much to tell you, to guide you and protect you, to give you abundant life and eternal life. We say, okay, but maybe after the football game. Or maybe I got to go shopping. I'll give you a few minutes next week. Well, that's not going to cut it with the Lord. God says, I have given you promises and everything you need in my word. There's 66 books in here. Have you read it? Have you read one? How about a verse? Revelation 3:20 says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. Wow, what an invitation. Is that not, I mean, come on, think about it. Can you see God knocking at the door of your heart and saying, hey, I'm right here for you. Let me come in. I'll take care of things. And we go, nobody's home. We put the hand up, talk to the hand, right? God says, I've given you everything you need. When we fail to listen to God, we suffer the consequences. Before we get ready to do something, if there's a gnawing, that deep gnawing inside like I talked about before, we should stop and ask God, what is your will in this matter, God? What is it you have for me to do that it will save me a lot of pain and a lot of upset? Don't be so busy enjoying worldly pleasures that you don't hear God knocking. Worldly stuff makes you indifferent to God's offer of lasting satisfaction. If you're feeling indifferent to church and to the Bible and to the Christian people around you, to God, you've already shut the door on him. So let's decide whether or not we want that door shut, because he'll let us decide. He gives us the choice. Either you want the door open or you don't. Each one of us is building a life, and its soundness is based on hearing his voice and acting on it. Listening to God and obeying him are the only constructive methods that enable us to survive the storms of these end times. Staying alert and responsive to the speaking voice becomes the rock foundation that no enemy, no trial, no temptation can destroy. Matthew 7:26-27 says, But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Each of us will be held accountable for acting upon every spiritual truth we've heard. We are not to simply hear, but to obey also. Not simply glance at the word, but to grasp the word. God is faithful, and he's listening to hear us call on him. We have to obey him. He'll honor and bless us when we listen for his voice. He reveals himself, not only in a miraculous way, but in the quietness of a humbled heart. So quietness is essential to listening to God. It takes time. in quietness to prepare to listen to him. You just can't rush in and be a bulldozer. You just have to take time and be quiet before him and wait on him. We wait on him. He doesn't wait on us. If we quiet ourselves before him, God can interject thoughts into our minds, into our thinking. And when we're silent, he may bring a scripture to our mind that we need to hear to be edified and encouraged, or that we need to give to somebody else. He reveals a truth to us. He brings peace to our inner being when we sit before him in silence and allow him to pour himself into us. Proverbs 8:34. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. I want to be blessed. I'll wait. I'll watch daily at his gates. Our hearts and our minds must be totally surrendered to him. People have a hardened heart when they don't listen to God and they don't respond to him. They hear God, but they don't want to do what he says, so their hearts get hardened day after day. Meditation brings us into a position in which we can see ourselves in the light of God's truth. If you don't want to be alone with God, it may be because he's dealing with something in your life, something you don't want exposed. So whatever it is, that he brings to mind, it's the best thing to do is to let it out there. Say, all right, Lord, I repent of it, and move on. Romans, 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We know that one. The more we understand who God is, the more we will want to hear from him. The more we want to hear about his character, the more we want to know who he is down deep inside of him. Who is he? Who is this God that we pray to? What do we need to know about him? The condition of our hearts determines what our ears hear. So we ask God sometimes, God, what are you trying to say to me when I pray? We may not always be right about every time that we think we hear God, but it's a learning process. When God speaks, it'll be confirmed somehow. Just like on Sundays when I get excited when I hear Pastor will say something. Even in our prayer this evening, he said, and we hear the voice of God. And it just makes me excited because it's confirmed. That's exactly what God wants us to hear. It's not that I made this up. It's that he put it in my spirit to give to you as well as to myself. We learn from it. We hear his voice in every Bible study. We hear his voice in every sermon, in music. We can hear his voice if we really, truly listen. So it is a process. We have to work on that sometimes and get it into our hearts and tell the Lord we're listening to him and that we're available to hear him, that his voice is, he's ready and he's willing to talk to us. So when we turn a deaf ear to what God is saying and we listen to the wrong voices, that gives Satan a place in our lives. We don't want that. Like when we hear God say something to us and we go, I don't know, God, but well, let me think about it or something. We're turning him off. We're telling the Lord we don't want to hear him when we put that, I know, God, but. We're turning him off. We're tuning him out. God never said anything unless it's important and worth remembering. There's so much in here that's worth remembering. If we could only remember every word. But he brings to our remembrance the things that we need at the time that we need it. God's always to the point. He speaks clearly. He has no speech impediment. He speaks clearly, directly. He tells us exactly what he wants, exactly what he means. We have to be aggressive listeners. So we have to dig deep into the scriptures and search and hear what he's really saying to us. because you can read this word today. You can read this scripture today. And today it means one thing. And tomorrow it'll mean another thing to you. But he knows what you need for that time, that place, that hour. And so that's what he brings to your mind. He knows that whatever he points us to in this word is something that will edify us and encourage us. So we need to listen and understand and be shaped and conformed to his truth. When God speaks, we have to understand and recognize his message is of utmost importance. He just doesn't speak to hear his own voice, like a lot of us might do that. Okay? He wants our full and complete attention. Our full and complete attention. That's why he says, come to the throne room. Come and be silent before me and let me speak to you alone. Let me be right there with you. Let me have fellowship with you. Let you and I become one. And that's what he loves about that. He wants to be alone with us. He has so much to pour into us. The problem is that we don't always want to hear him. We don't always have our spiritual antennas ready for that. So we need to come to and before the Lord and be willing to humble ourselves to do his will. If we're going to hear God, we have to come to him expectantly. He has so much for us. Expect to hear from him. For those who say, well, I don't hear from God, that's contrary to scripture. We already read that his sheep hear his voice. That's scripture. God doesn't lie. So he already told us that his sheep hear his voice. So you cannot say that you don't hear from God, because you do if you want to. And that's how you have to find out how to hear from him. So we need to come before him, like I said. And in Jeremiah 33:3, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. He wants to show us great and mighty things. He wants to show us signs and wonders. He wants to show us a multitude of things. His glory. He wants us to be right there in the midst of his glory. We've got to be ready for it. This is the time of our lives where God is going to reveal major, monumental things to us. And we have to be able to hear his voice. He's not going to scream at us until that day comes with that trumpet. If we're to hear God, we must be quiet and let him do the talking. Wait and meditate upon his word. Psalm 62:5 says, my soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from him. In the expectation in the New Living Translation says, let all that I am wait quietly before God, for my hope is in him. So expectation is a hope in him. Mark 1:35 said, now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Well, that's what God did, or Jesus did. He went out and he prayed to the Father quietly, in the silence, in solitary. He didn't want to hear the television. He didn't want to hear commercials. And, let me talk to God. Oh, wait, commercial's on. Now I'll talk to God. No, he doesn't want that clamor and that noise and that junk going on around him. He wanted solitary time, privacy with God. So he was silent before God, and he listened for God to talk to him also. So God wants your absolute divided attention, undivided attention. He wants you all to himself. He wants to put his loving, divine arms around you through quiet, disciplined prayer and interaction with words, the word. We can become people who learn to distinguish his voice. The person who has heard from the Lord has enduring power to engage adversaries. We have the power. God gives it to us. We can confront tragedy and not be succumbed and overcome. We can conquer any problem that lies in our path because of what God has spoken to us. We get strength from his words. He fulfills his promises and he guarantees his word. And when he's speaking, we're listening. Are we listening obediently to him? So we rise up early and we seek the Lord. God wants to speak to your life so that he can help you and order your day with greater authority and greater success. Spend time in his presence and let the Lord fill your heart with his peace and joy, and stand on his promises and get his special word that's just for you. Just for you. He has words special just for you that no one else will know about except when you share it with other people. You have your silent time with the Lord. So you can stand and declare throughout the whole day that you've heard from the Lord in your heart. Don't rush. Take your time. God will tell us some things that we need to hear, but we don't need to hear them right now. He'll take his time, and if we wait patiently, when the time is right and we're ready to receive the answer, he will give it to us. In the process of while we're waiting to get an answer from him, he's changing and preparing us to hear the message. We can't always just have the answer to something until we're ready. In James 1, 22 to 25, he says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." So when we listen to the voice of God, it means that we're not just merely hearing, but we're also obeying. He may tell us to do things, and we have to do them. We might question it in our hearts, but we do whatever he says to do. If he says move, we move. If he says run, we run. Listen carefully and be ready to carry out his instructions. They're always the best for us, you know. He doesn't give us things to harm us. We can judge the effectiveness of our Bible study and our time by the effect it has on our behaviors and our attitudes. Every time we sit and we hear a Bible study or a sermon, God's speaking directly to us. Can you hear what he's saying tonight? He has something for each one of us here tonight. Not because of me, but because he's using me to say these things. He uses Pastor on Sunday and Ray on Sunday mornings. Those words all have meaning. We can't just come in and then we go out the door and we don't even have a clue what the pastor said or what Ray said. We remember what I said, but no, I'm kidding. But we have to remember, these are things that the Lord is actually putting into our hearts. It's not just a series of words or just time wasted. It's things he has here to teach us, for us to learn something. Don't listen to other voices that cause you to turn away from God's voice, causing you death and destruction. The world speaks a different language than we do. When we stop listening to God's language, that's when we start listening to the flesh and the appeals of the flesh. So God wants to give us his very, very best. You know, sometimes we think that a hamburger is just so delicious because we've never had anything else. But then we get a steak and we go, wow, that's so much better than a hamburger. But we didn't know that because we settled for the hamburger. And now we can have steak. The Lord wants to give us steak all the time. Isn't that crazy? That was funny, huh? So when the end comes, it's too late to hear from God. It's too late to get his instructions. Because he doesn't want anybody to perish, But he has a time when that's it. That's it. So when the end comes, it will be too late. We will hear his voice, but it'll be a different kind of voice. He may say, I never knew you. In the midst of our complex and hectic lives, nothing is more urgent or more necessary or more rewarding than hearing what God has to say. Isn't it just so hard to imagine and how to comprehend that the amazing God that we serve wants to speak to us? In Hebrews, we can go boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace. He wants to talk to us just as powerfully today as he did in the days that the Bible was written. In Deuteronomy 28:1, now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. Look how simple that is. All we have to do is obey his commandments and seek his voice diligently, and then we are going to be above all the nations of the earth. Sounds good to me. Greater is he who is in the world than he is in. Greater is he who is in me than he is in the world. That was 1 John 4:4. I don't know if I put that on there or not. But John 10:3-4 says, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he is in the world. John 10:3-4. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Well, we're his sheep, and he knows us by name, every single one of us. So we listen to him and we follow him. That's what it says here. That's what it says. It's written right there in the Word. In 1 Corinthians 2:9-10, it says, okay. So you get what I'm trying to say. It's so important when God impressed that on me. And he says that, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yet the deep things of God. He reveals things to us. That's how he speaks to us. He reveals things to us through people, through circumstances, through the Word, through his voice, the still small voice. Don't miss out, not one day. Don't miss one day of not being in God's presence and hearing his voice. Don't miss out on the rewards of the time spent with God. It gives you peace of mind. You need to tune in to God's supernatural frequencies, just like a radio. Tune them in. Don't tune them out. Tune them in. Get on the same frequency with the Lord and tap into his divine inspiration. Without order in your life, you'll be distracted with the cares and the concerns of life that can't still your mind, and then you won't hear God's voice. So first, get honest with God about the hidden idols or sins that may be in your heart. Give them up. You don't need them. If you don't, we'll be unhappy, miserable, sorrowful, murmuring, complaining. We'll have all that in our lives, and we will not hear God's voice. He doesn't speak to us if we have those things in our life. The problem is not getting God to talk. It's having ears to hear. In the coming crisis in America, God's going to set apart his people who are going to be an example to the rest of the world. When you're set apart, you won't panic in the storms. Instead, you'll walk in total peace and joy because you trust the Lord with your whole entire being. They'll hear God speaking to their hearts. Come to me, all you who love the sound of my voice. Open the door and enter into your secret closet. This is God speaking to us. Come in your secret closet and be with me. I want to talk with you. I want to lead you and guide you and give you my direction. Today, you and I are invited to draw near to God and ask him for his guiding Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit knows the mind and the voice of the Father. He speaks God's thoughts to us in John 16:13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he speaks, whatever he hears, he will speak and he will tell you things to come. So he's going to tell us about the things of our future. He's not just a God of today. He's a God of tomorrow also. Just like that. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Hebrews 13:8. So if you have the Holy Spirit abiding in you, he will instruct you personally. He speaks to all the followers of Christ, and the Spirit never speaks a single word that's contrary to the Scriptures. So being filled with the Spirit is essential to hearing God. We can't make God tell us anything 1 second before it's time. Not 1 second. So we spend quality time with him daily, waiting on him to open our hearts and fully hear his voice, not rushed into his presence. He loves to speak to us, so take time with him. We're in good hands with the Almighty Lord. Even in the most difficult times coming, we'll enjoy a time of great rejoicing because he will reveal himself to us as never before. This is the time. He commands us to hear him. Did you know that? Jeremiah 7:23. But this is what I commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. That's a command. Discover his will as he speaks to your heart and mind. He knows the beginning from the end, and everything in between, and the things that are in between are also the things that he wants to reveal to us, things that we don't even think about. God has our success and our prosperity and our fulfillment. He has it all planned out for us. Just have to listen and follow his direction. It's in his word. We can follow it. In spite of ourselves, God has mercy and grace for us. So turn off the mute button. Open your ears and your hearts to hear his voice and come into his presence. God's calling. His voice is clear. God is faithful, so when you humble your heart before him, you'll hear him, if you desire to hear him, and he knows our hearts. So if we don't want to really know him, we're not going to hear him. He's been revealing and speaking. He is with us even to the end of the world. Find out what he's saying in the word to you and get alone with him. How pleasing it is to God when we desire to sit in his presence, wait for him to speak. Can you imagine him saying, my beautiful children, they're here. They're finally here. They're listening to my voice. Can you hear me now, children? Can you hear me now? And then we should be waiting to hear from God because he's talking right now. Talking right now. Come into his presence and say thank you and praise you, Lord. Then we can say with great confidence, yes, Lord, I can hear you now.